This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
You're tuned in to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive here on Fan Run Radio. Oh, just another boring Thursday in the sports radio universe.
Anything going on today?
No.
Man, you know, last night, sitting around, and I saw a thread on one of the message boards about Fulmer being on Nashville radio, and he said some things that kind of got me all Maynardville mad.
We're working like heck.
And I was like, oh, man, I can't wait to go on and rip Fulmer. By God, it's been a while. When was the last time we ripped Fulmer? Like, really laid into him. It's been a couple months.
Yeah. He's due for one for sure.
Yeah.
After that.
Oh, and he's going to get, make no mistake.
Oh, well, yeah, we'll get to it. Last night, I'm thinking, oh, man, this would be a great way to lead off the show. Just really rip somebody. It's been a while since we've done that. And then the Saban comments start filtering out. And it's like, oh, wow, well, this is unbelievable. This is talk radio gold. This is Nick Saban calling out Jimbo Fisher by name, throwing Dion into it as well. And, that knocks Fulmer off the front page. Lucky for him. And then today. Jimbo, he took it to 11. These go up to 11. He went full nuclear on him. It just took it to a whole nother level.
I've never been the biggest Jimbo fan in the world.
Yeah.
But there was something very familiar about how far he took it to me. Just personally.
Oh, like you could identify with?
Oh, totally. Yeah. As soon as he sat down, I was like, wait a minute, he's wearing blue jeans?
What?
Yeah.
That was your initial takeaway, was his jeans?
When I first saw him walking in, I was like, what's getting ready to happen? And they set that water down there, and then he's just the way he's, like, I knew something big was coming. Because the guy's prickly. I mean, he already went off on Lane about it.
All right. So for those of you who have lives and don't follow this stuff minute to minute, like, we do. It's our job. We gather the ridiculous nonsense and present it to you weekdays from 3 to 6 here on Fan Run Radio. Let's start with Nick Saban. This is Saban speaking last night at some Alabama booster event. Nate Oates was on the stage right next to him looking very uncomfortable. And here is Nick Saban's comments on NIL.
You've read about them. You know who they are. I mean, we were second in recruiting last year. A&M was first. A&M bought every player on their team, made a deal for name, image, and likeness. All right, we didn't buy one player. All right, but I don't know if we're going to be able to sustain that in the future because more and more people are doing it.
So there's Saban, just a stunning lack of self-awareness.
Cough, cough, BS, cough.
And he goes on to say that, We don't buy players. We do it the right way. And everybody's just – all the Bama sheep, all the gumps in front of them are just like, yeah, man, you do it the right way, Nick. You're so good.
We didn't buy one player.
I think that every other fan base in the SEC was just like slack jawed. Like,
everybody
what
else
did
is
he
just
say?
Yeah, their jaw on the ground.
We're like, what? That's what I was.
Is this dude serious? Right now. But obviously, it's very rare that these guys call out schools by name publicly like this. Even going back to when, Fulmer PI had like the tape recorder in
Albert
his
Means deal.
Briefcase. It was like surreptitiously recording some Alabama recruiting writer about what was going on down there. Even then, like, Fulmer never spoke about that. Still has never spoken about it publicly. He had that weird thing at Media Days where he was like talking on the speakerphone, but he was just defending himself. He never publicly attacked Alabama and accused them of cheating, to my knowledge. It's been 20 years since all that went down, but I don't remember him ever saying Mike DuBose paid Lynn, what was that guy's name? The coach in our state.
Oh, out there in Memphis.
Paid that Lynn Lang to get Albert Means to come to Alabama. Like, he never spelled it out like that. And I guess Nick Saban didn't name names on prospects, but he named names on A&M, and he called out Deion Sanders, Jackson State, whatever, wherever he is.
Jackson State.
It's like,
why?
Yeah, why? What threat do they pose?
I'll tell you what it is. It's because were they recruiting that kid too, or was he a hard Florida State commit? I think he's
that's good.
Part
that's
of
good
the thing
point.
That's yeah, bothering him is quarterback situation right now. He's not going to get Arch Manning.
You notice he didn't call out us
yet.
No, but we got his number two on their board.
They were recruiting
Nico.
Nico Yama Pajama.
Yeah.
And so.
Who did have a committable offer.
Yeah.
There's a lot. He's really getting rolled up, Russ, as the kids say.
Yama Pajama.
Yeah, you like that?
Oh,
like
that was classic.
So here is.
Oh, let me ask you before yeah. You think they would ever, because I guarantee you, if you could get the people involved to talk. A 30-for-30 on the Phil Fulmer Alabama feud in the 90s. How good would that be?
That would be very good. It'd be very good. But no, enough people wouldn't talk. Namely him.
Who's died? Lynn Lang. He's passed away. Hasn't he?
I don't know. There was.
I know somebody
you're
key.
You're thinking
in
about
it
the booster Logan Young.
Okay.
Was their booster? He's passed away.
Yeah.
And Roy Adams from Tennessee's booster has passed away. Lynn Lang, I believe, was the coach at Memphis Tresemme.
Didn't Roy used to call all the shows here in Knoxville?
Oh, yeah.
What was his?
10 stud.
Yeah, he was the original.
And he was on all the message boards and everything. I met he's a character, man. But anyway.
Go on.
Jimbo Fisher responding to Nick Saban. And this is a longer clip than we usually play. It's about 3 minutes long, but it's.
You can't cut any of it
out.
Yeah,
you got to hear the whole thing. And actually, we could play like 10 minutes of it, but let me just give you a taste. Here's Jimbo Fisher calling a special press conference just to talk about this. Like, that's it. He didn't call the Texas A&M version of the Vol Network. He didn't release a podcast. He didn't do a taped statement that they put on like Facebook and Twitter. He called a press conference.
Yeah, he just walked over to the media room from his office, sat down, and let it rip.
But you understand, like, that all the A&M media, like, people have to, like, go to a physical location. Like, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
And here's what he said.
First of all, I'll say it's a shame that we have to do this. It's really despicable. It's despicable that somebody can say things about somebody and an organization. More importantly, 17-year-old kids. You're taking shots at 17-year-old kids and their families. That they broke state laws. They're all money. We bought every player on this group. We never bought anybody. No rules were broken. Nothing was done wrong. It was all and the way we do things, the ethics in which we do things. And these families, it's despicable that a reputable head coach could come out and say this when he doesn't get his way or things don't go his way. The narcissist in him doesn't allow those things to happen. And it's ridiculous. But when he's not on top and the parody in college football he's been talking about, go talk to coaches who coach for him. You'll find out all the parody. Go dig into wherever he's been. You can find out anything. And it's a shame that you got to sit here and defend 17-year-old kids and families in Texas A&M because we do things right. We're always going to do things right. But we're always going to be here. We're doing a heck of a job. These coaches have done a great job. Our players have done a great job. The whole organization of recruiting people. It's despicable that we got to sit here at this level of ball and say these things to defend the people of this organization, the kids, 17-year-old kids, and their families. It's amazing. Some people think they're God. Go dig into how God did his deal. You may find out about a guy that a lot of things you don't want to know. We built him up to be the czar of football. Go dig into his past or anybody that's ever coached with him. You can find out anything you want to find out, what he does and how he does it. And it's despicable. It really is. And it's a shame we have to sit up here and have this conversation about things we do. And it's personal to us? Yes, it is. It's personal to A&M. It's personal to our players. It's personal to our coaches and everybody involved. And I know the guy. I know him really well. It's amazing. We're allowed to do those things. It's really despicable. And I hate it. For our players who are coming here, who did things the right way, have done things the right way, and will continue to do things the right way, I apologize to you, the people who insult you publicly the way they're doing it. And our fans, I apologize to you guys for people saying those things about Texas A&M. But I promise you this, there are no violations. There are nothing wrong. It's the second time we've had to do this with grown men who don't get their way and want to pout, throw a fit, and act up. Just go ask all the people who work for him. You'll know exactly what he's about. I always said this. My dad always told me this. When people show you who they are, believe them. He's showing you who he is.
Questions? To the left, Olin.
A couple of things, Jimbo. First of all, have you had any contact with Nick since?
No. Oh, he's called.
You just didn't take the call?
Not going to. We're done.
And
he shows you who he is.
And then I just wanted to.
He's the greatest ever, huh?
And then I just wanted
when
to.
You got all the advantages?
Huh?
It's easy.
And I just wanted to just put it point blank. So no players in your. You're saying that no players in
the state of
Texas.
There's no bylaws
of
anything we ever promised, done anything that goes against the laws of the state of Texas. And it's insulting to say a 17-year-old and his family broke laws. No.
All right, so there's Jimbo, and I believe right that was sped up. I don't know why.
I don't think it was. I've heard it on. I've heard it in two different places today. I think he sounded that. I think
he's
that's
still
how,
hot.
Yeah, he
hot
was hot.
Bothered. Milkshake Funeral says Jimbo Fisher's so mad he's going to buy Twitter.
You saw he threaded the needle right there at the end.
All right, so
no state laws have been broken.
Yeah. All right, so. Here's my thing. Yeah, they're both big hypocrites, whatever. I want to get back to Saban for a second. What's his angle here? He's always very calculated, very careful to remain above the fray. Why is he taking the gloves off here and jumping into the octagon just full on?
Because he sees I think he really does see the writing on the wall.
Which is?
That he had a totally unfair advantage in that Alabama, they didn't really get investigated. We've seen all the social media. You can find it for yourself. You can go on Twitter. Every high-profile kid, and they brought in more than anybody. All those
okay,
kids,
so how does this change for them, though? I mean, they're still not going to get investigated. They can be the leader in all this. He knows that, right?
We've got more money and a better organized
NIL.
We've
got more money than Alabama?
As far as, like, NIL pool?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. According to who?
Just look at the boosters.
Who?
Tell me who's Alabama's booster. I can tell you people, two of our major boosters are household names.
I can't tell you who anybody's boosters are, but, I mean, it's Alabama.
I think
where do you think the money's been coming from all these years?
The price has gone up. Not only do they have an unfair advantage in that they would never get investigated, even though, you know, there was a million clues out there that something was going on. I've yet to understand how a 17- or 18-year-old kid can, you know, handle the debt load and get a loan on a $75,000, $80,000 muscle car. I mean, come on, man.
Well, I mean,
other people had to operate somewhat within the rules.
I don't know, man. I think Alabama is going to be just fine in the world of NIL. I mean, they were the first one last year at SEC Media Days when Saban strolled up there to the podium and let the world know that Bryce Young, who hadn't played a meaningful down to that point, had over $1 million worth of NIL deals. He said in that same speech they had about 25 guys with NIL deals in place last season. Alabama is not going to be behind in the NIL game.
No, but here is the thing, is that Alabama's not the only place you can go get coached, play football, and get to the NFL. And he's had that, and now with everybody being, you know, a lot of their rivals being able to compete against them financially, you know, I feel like we've had one hand tied behind our back.
Well, I don't know, man. I disagree. Because
you still think he's going to get the pick of the litter?
Because Georgia has been playing their game for a couple of years and just beat them, and he didn't say anything till yesterday. Because Tennessee was trying to play their game for a couple of years under Jeremy Pruitt and even probably taking it further than they ever dreamed of, and it didn't matter.
That was
why
like putting
now?
The Three Stooges in charge.
Why now?
I think there's a lot of different reasons. I think what's going on with next year's quarterback class with Arch Manning and Nico. And Russell, I know you say that they've got plenty of money and all that, but he's not going to be able to just stack and collect the best talent in the country year after year. Kids will want to go play, especially if the money's either better or competitive.
So you don't take him at his word at all when he claims to and he never said this explicitly, but this is the vibe certainly that he's giving off, is like, I care about the soul of the game. I care about the integrity of the game, and this is not what college football has been, and it's not what it needs to become. You just think that's total bunk, and it's all purely 100% self-interest.
Yeah, I'd tell him go sell crazy somewhere else. I'm all stocked up here. I don't know. Him talking about parity?
Yeah.
I mean, that may be one of the greatest lies ever told. There is no parity in college football.
He's also the one that said, you know, like you said, Russell, last year at Media Days, that Bryce Young was getting $1 million in NIL money. But then he also just said last night that he had 25 players that made a total of $3 million. You can't tell me that and expect me to believe that that's the truth.
No, I mean, they've been leading the under-the-table paying players for decades now, and now it's above the table. I'm not convinced that they won't still be leading. I'm not convinced that it matters as much as some of us might think it does. But we can circle back to this because I think it's interesting, and of course we're going to have a good old-fashioned lie-off between Saban and Jimbo, and we'll let you decide who is the more convincing of the two liars. I mean, Walter White from Breaking Bad is just sitting back in awe of the mountains of BS that these two are spewing the past 24 hours. It is truly remarkable. I mean, these guys should be up there in Washington. It's fantastic, yeah, the way they're able to just keep a straight face and Jimbo's so preachy about it too. Anyway, we get back to this. Coming up, Matt Wyatt does a radio show down in Mississippi. He's great guest, one of the great guests we had on last year to talk college baseball.
Oh, yeah.
Really looking forward. And he was a quarterback at Mississippi State, so he's going to be a great guy to get his thoughts on the Jimbo Saban feud. And we'll preview Tennessee and Mississippi State. Game one tonight in Starkville, 6 p.m. start. Final regular season series of the year for Tony Vitello and the Basefalls. We got a lot to get into. Stay tuned. It's The Drive. More Fan Run Radio coming up. Back here on The Drive, Fan Run Radio, 105.7 FM, 1340 AM, streaming online this afternoon at fanrunradio.com and your free Fan Run app. A variety of ways for you to experience the program today. Nick Saban versus Jimbo Fisher. And by the way, Josh Heupel's just sitting back here with Nico Yamapajama, already committed on the commitment list and not called out by now. We're not involved in this. We just sit back with our popcorn and kind of watch the show for once, which is, yeah, but it's nice not to be in
we
the
can all
of this.
Agree that this morning, every other head coach in the SEC, probably everybody on staff, but I just have this mental image of like Mark Stoops, Josh Heupel, Kirby, Shane Beamer, whoever that chump is they hired at Florida, Bob Napier, is that it?
Billy. Gold dust.
Oh, Billy Napier. They had to just be sitting there just watching it, grinning. Like, what?
Yeah, man.
I just don't see Heupel getting drug into something like that. There's several, including Kirby.
Well, here's the thing. I go back. Saban knew what he was doing. There's no way those were just off-the-cuff comments that he didn't think were going to get out. He knew. He had that microphone, and he brought up Texas A&M, Dion, and Miami basketball specifically. He knows that's going
to
be
a big deal.
He knows it's going to be a big thing. Well, keep in mind, last year, remember the comment Saban, we talked about it. I remember Josh Pate was on at the time because we were just Jimbo had said something about we're coming for him or something.
Yeah.
And somebody sticks a microphone in Saban's face at some event, and he said, Jimbo says he's going to get you. What do you think about that? And Saban goes, in what? Golf? And it was just like, it was such a dismissive put down. It was hysterical is what it was.
It made it even better when Jimbo beat him,
yeah, honestly. And then Jimbo goes and beats him.
They genuinely don't like each other, do they?
Evidently not.
Apparently not, man.
So, I mean, he knew that this was going to happen, right? This is not a surprise to him, and there's going to be a little bit back and forth. Evidently, Saban's going to be on some Sirius XM show or something. We'll pull some comments if that happens. That's interesting. But Jimbo comes on, and this freaking guy. And look, they're both great coaches, man. We can acknowledge that Saban's the best. I give Jimbo more credit than you do, but we can acknowledge that their records are the records in this dirty game of college football, in which they have is their chosen profession. These are two of the best. They're really good at it.
Yeah, I guess but if
we,
I'm all,
we, okay, we can acknowledge that while also saying. It's a dirty game, and there's no honor amongst thieves. That these are two of the dirtiest players in the game.
Oh yeah, absolutely are, and they've worked together.
So that being said, for Jimbo to go up there today and with his holier than thou attitude, and we do it the right way, and to basically accuse Saban of cheating through the years. And again,
this is a guy coach was a head coach at Florida State.
Well, yeah, we know, we all roll our eyes and know Alabama's cheated for years.
Everybody
by the rules.
Does.
Everybody does it. Everybody knows the deal. And we all roll our eyes when Saban talks about doing it the right way, whatever. But this is the first time that another coach has, again, said anything like this. Because he was making comments about go back and see where he's been, talk to other people that he's done it with. He's basically accusing him of
being
what
we
all
really
know
is
the truth.
Yeah.
You sit on a throne of lies.
Yes. That's exactly what it is.
To quote Elf.
Like, he probably really does know where the bodies are buried. The part with Jimbo that gets me is, dude, you're head coach at Florida State. There's two things about that. Number one, you know damn well, buddy, you know how to cheat. Okay?
Yeah.
You're head coach of Florida State. Number two, what I hold against Jimbo is that he let Florida State slip just with his apathy towards the end when he was just doing it for money.
Well, I think that like I said about Dabo when he was making his comments a couple of weeks ago. I think that everything he said is right, Dabo, and most of what Saban said last night was right, and most of the accusations that Jimbo threw around today are correct. We just don't want to hear it from them. We just don't want to hear it from them. Most of what they are saying has been proven out to be true. We know it's true. We just don't want to hear the guys that are benefiting the most from all the cheating tell us what's going on. And the place where Saban and Jimbo lose people and they're being defensive now, it's become just a mudslinging match between the two of them. The place where they actually lose people is when they say, all this stuff is happening except here. All this stuff is going on. It's terrible for the sport, and all these other bad actors are doing all these other terrible things. Except for us. We do it right. We do it the right way. We are pristine, lily white, clean. And then, so that's what makes me think that nothing is ultimately going to come from all of this. Which is a shame, because if they would just come out and say, listen, here are the problems, what's going on, here's a couple of solutions. We need to get together as coaches and leaders of this industry and this sport and figure out how we move forward and how we fix some of these issues, knowing that there's no snap your fingers and everything is awesome and just fine. But what are some simple steps that we can do short term, and what's our long-term vision for the sport? And already it's devolved into all the worst aspects of the sport, which have been simmering under the surface for years, have bubbled up. And it's just become another giant mud pit.
Jeremy Pruitt had to learn it from somebody. That's all I'm going to say.
And I don't even think anybody cares that Saban or Jimbo or any of these guys have been quote-unquote cheating for years. We just don't want to – don't tell us that everybody else is doing it, but you're not doing it. Anyway, let's get – we got Matt on
Yes, we do.
All right, good. Matt Wyatt joining us on the show this afternoon. Matt, good afternoon. How are you, sir? Sorry about that. We had some trouble getting you on the phone, maybe some technical difficulties on our end.
No worries at all. Glad to join you.
Yeah, man. So we had you on last year. We had such a good time talking to you, man, because you guys down at Mississippi State have been into this college baseball thing a lot longer than us here in Knoxville. And you were very educational, especially on the scholarship issue and the documentary that you put out. So I want to talk to you about that. But before we get into the baseball side of it, you played football in this league. You do radio in Mississippi. What are your thoughts on this? You guys are literally caught in the crossfire between Alabama and Texas. I guess there's Louisiana. Geography was never my strong suit, Matt. That's why we're doing sports radio here. But what are your thoughts on what's transpiring today in the world of college football?
Yeah, it's we've all got some thoughts on it. But honestly, like it's kind of like my head's still spinning just because, you know, when you think about it in the context of, like, the history of the SEC, this has never really happened. I mean, this is not – like one guy told me today on the show, this is not – Coach Spurrier making some snide comment about, you know, UT or, you know, and Citrus Bowl or free shoes, you know, university. It's a little different. You know, we've never really seen this before. And then the impromptu thing this morning with Coach Fisher, it's just like, and it keeps devolving as the day goes on. My opinion of it was, you know, I got up this morning, I looked at Coach Saban's comments and I thought, okay, he's unfiltered. This word unfiltered kept popping up, going, man, he's just laying it out there, right? And then you get Jimbo this morning, and the word with that for me was unhinged. The guy's just like totally, you know, taking a personal shot at Saban, and he's just unhinged in this thing. I've never seen anything quite like it. And then this afternoon, their AD over there, Ross Bjork, flips it around and kind of projects and says that it was Saban personally attacking Jimbo, and then made the comment that he's threatened because A&M was disrupting the power base of college football. I'm like, well, okay, for you maybe going 8-4 and 4-4 in the SEC is disrupting the power base of college football, but for the rest of us, it's a joke. You know, I don't know. The old saying is that pressure bursts pipes. And I don't know if it's just pressure that guys don't really know how to handle all this. Like, nobody's in control, and a few people seem to have lost their mind. That's kind of the way it looks to me.
You know, it's interesting that he's probably the first guy I can think of from that Saban tree. And we've seen a couple of them roll through Knoxville here over the years and elsewhere. And whenever they're asked about working for Saban or his influence, you know, even Lane Kiffin speaks in – hushed tones and with reverence about Nick Saban and what makes him special and how much they learned and appreciate him and all this stuff. Never heard anybody go off. I mean, it's one thing for Jimbo to get up there and defend his program, but to basically insinuate that Saban's career is built on a mountain of lies the way he did today was really something else.
It really was, you know, and there's, I had all these kind of questions just naturally. You go, okay, well, if that's true, then why have they never gotten popped? Okay, if a guy has multiple stops and he never plays by the rules, why has he never gotten popped? You know, you start asking these questions. Maybe there's something, and there obviously is some things that we don't know, but that was it. And the other thing, too, watching Jimbo go off the way he did this morning, you know, you step back and you go, okay, maybe after that dust up on signing day, you remember Lane Kiffin made the comments and Jimbo Fisher had the outburst and called him a clown and all this, that maybe after that there had been personal conversations between these guys because they do talk. And supposedly, you know, who knows, maybe there was a gentleman's agreement, we're not going to go at this thing again, and then he sees the comments last night and gets furious about it. Maybe that would make sense if you're trying to find a reasoning, but we certainly have never seen that before. And whether anything comes of it, who knows? And I don't really know what you accomplish by doing that today if you're Jimbo Fisher, other than maybe you earn a few points with a few members of your fan base.
Yeah, it struck me as another Jimbo recruiting pitch. That was my big take. When I'm listening to it, it's like he's sticking up for the kids. I'm apologizing that your good character has been besmirched and all that stuff. To me, it that was my takeaway. But I don't know. Maybe I'm a little cynical.
Yeah, no, I think those guys very rarely do anything publicly that doesn't have some sort of angle, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just the truth. And that's how this all started. You know, you're trying to evaluate Saban. Well, you go, look, Saban, he's too smart. He's not a guy who is out here and has a cocktail with some alumni and then gets loose on the microphone. He doesn't do that. He's opening up and throwing this stuff out there. He's got some sort of agenda. Well, in his response, I agree with you. There's something in the – there's an agenda there for Jimbo. Maybe it is a recruiting pitch. But the thing about it is it's going to all come out in the wash. You know, if guys are getting name, image, and likeness money and they were promised that in recruiting, it's eventually going to surface. I mean, all of it is going to surface. And if it doesn't, those guys will transfer, I guess, if they were promised something and don't get it. So – ultimately, a lot of this stuff's going to come out in the wash anyway.
We're talking with Matt Wyatt this afternoon. He is at Radio Wyatt on Twitter. He played quarterback for Mississippi State back in the day. He's doing some radio. And Matt, I don't see your affiliation here. Tell folks a little bit about what you're up to these days and where you can be heard online.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, we're on every day Central Time here, 12 to 2, so it'd be 1 to 3 where you are. And in the Jackson market, which is our state capital in Mississippi, we have a station there that's all ESPN all day and all sports, local sports all day. So we're on there for a couple of hours. And then I have a business that I run, like you saw last year, a video production business, and we delve into the creative every now and then, like the documentary that we did last year. So headphones, microphones, cameras, and computers, that's pretty much the deal.
Outstanding, man. Yeah, the documentary Uneven, and you can watch this on YouTube. Is it still free on YouTube?
Yeah, okay. It's totally free. YouTube, and you can find links at unevenbaseball.com. And as you know, we are inching closer and closer to that already being outdated because they're trying to alleviate some of the scholarship stuff, which is a really good thing.
No, yeah, I think that's fantastic as this sport continues to grow each and every passing year. And let's talk about this series this weekend coming up down there in Starkville, actually game one tonight at the Duty Noble Field, a beautiful baseball stadium ballpark down there in Starkville. Number one, Tennessee. Now, Mississippi State wins the College World Series last year, and they have just taken a big step backwards. What's happened in the Bulldogs baseball program this year, Matt?
Yeah, they've just kind of come back down to earth. It's kind of how it has felt. And some of that, you know, is just basically like the cycle and guys getting hurt. You know, and it's a state program. The whole context there, as you think about it, looking up through last year, that season a year ago, that had been to five straight super regionals. Okay, so that last year was their fifth consecutive super regional trip. It was their third consecutive trip to the College World Series in Omaha.
Wow.
And that was just their, you know, this most recent run. And so last year when they were able to win the College World Series, it sort of made a lot of sense that, you know, the leaders on your team, the veterans on your team, those were guys who had played a ton of games in Omaha over the course of their three-year college career, right? Like, it was just commonplace. You had guys that came to state and played for 3 years and never finished their season anywhere other than Omaha. So they finally went in. And so what happened is a lot of that experience left your team via draft and other stuff. And kind of the guts of your pitching staff left your team, including one of those in the first round and a couple in the high rounds. And then the only first-round guy on your team this year at State was last year's closer, Landon Sims, and he was so automatic, one of the best closers in the country. If you could get a lead to the eighth inning, you won the game. I mean, it was just incredible how automatic he was, and he made a transition to be your number one guy, your Friday night starting pitcher this year. And then, of course, before the conference season even gets there, he gets the UCL injury and is having to go through Tommy John. State's pitching staff sort of got decimated by injuries, starting with that Landon Sims injury. Since then, four others gone for the year. And a lineup that is led by newcomers. You have two newcomers. So it was a I say all that to say the context for State this year was it's just basically you're finally turning this thing over, if that makes sense, after the five-year run that you had leading up to last year.
Yeah, what goes up must come down. I guess yeah. You can't. Mm-hmm. It's college football too, man. You can't stay up on top forever. Even Alabama has an off year every now and then. So obviously, Mississippi State is the program is still healthy and they'll be back. What about in terms of this weekend, Matt? With Tennessee number one and obviously having a great season, what are the expectations from the Bulldog standpoint for this weekend?
Yeah, I'd say it's. You know, they are really up against it. When you talk about expectations, that program, they are completely eliminated from the NCAA tournament. There's no chance of this team making a field of 64. All they have to play for would be to try to get into that top 12 and go finish their season in Hoover at the SEC tournament. That's all they have to play for. And that's been the case now for about a week, week and a half, and so you've already started to see a few of the younger guys getting a few more innings and that kind of thing, going ahead and looking to next year. So that's what Tennessee's walking into. Having said that, there still is a chance for them to play themselves into Hoover if they could somehow win the series this weekend. So there's that motivation. You've got some older players on the team this year, a few, not many, but that were a part of the success of the years past, and the fans kind of want to send them out right. You got great weather. And so not on a Thursday night, you're not going to have a huge crowd tonight, but they'll actually have really good crowds at the ballpark tomorrow and Saturday. And hopefully the Tennessee fans that go get to kind of experience what it's really like on an SEC weekend at State, even though the team's kind of eliminated from any of the major goals that they have going in. And you're just going to see basically a team for State that this time next year won't look anywhere near the same in terms of their lineup, their pitching staff. So this will be it pretty much this weekend.
Very good. Well, we're looking forward to that great environment this weekend. I know what a beautiful ballpark y'all got down there. Matt, just your thoughts on Tennessee. I mean, this Tennessee team, obviously we talked a little bit about it last year, and they played Mississippi State and both went to Omaha, and they've kind of been the talk of the college baseball universe this year. And Tony Vitello is no stranger to controversy. There's always some story around this team, from the bat flips to the trash talk and all that stuff. Just what's your thoughts on that? There's a lot of folks, obviously Tennessee fans love it. Opponents maybe not so much. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I love it. I've loved watching them play and really kind of enjoyed watching them last year and kind of getting to know just, you know, again, on your TV screen, getting to follow Tony Vitello and what he's doing. You can just see he checks all the boxes, and you just get all the right vibes. In terms of being a competitor, I look at things through the eyes of an athlete, not necessarily as a fan. And, yeah, I get it. Opposing teams, they not like the trash talk or the bat flips. But if I'm in that dugout, I think we'd be having a lot of fun. You'd love to play that way with that kind of confidence, and he's brought that. So I have a lot of appreciation for the style and the confidence they play with, and everybody ought to be trying to emulate that, in my opinion. And then, you know, the other thing is the way he's put the team together, aggressively recruiting at a place where when he got there, it was not easy to recruit to, but he made no excuses and has built that team into it is so dominant. And so I would just say this time last year, I was watching Arkansas. And that Arkansas team a year ago was so dominant, and you could get it to the sixth or seventh inning. They would give it to Copps, and he'd close the game out for you. They looked like they were an absolute shoe-in to get to Omaha and maybe win a national title. And then ran up against an NC State team in their own super regional in Fayetteville that nobody was even talking about. And when NC State beat them, I could not believe it. I just couldn't believe it. And then NC State gets to Omaha, and before they had to leave, they actually look the best team out there. They look that way anyway. So what I would say is I've been fooled so many times watching a team that's so dominant throughout the year, and a lot of times those teams will get upset. So the challenge for that group at Tennessee is to hang on to every ounce of that confidence, but at the same time, understand when you get into regional, super regional play, it gets weird. I don't know how to explain it. It just gets weird, and that there are no givens, even as dominant as they are.
Hey, Matt, great stuff, man. Appreciate you joining us. On your way out, the scholarship issue in baseball, you touched on this earlier, and there's a proposal out to put some more scholarships in this thing, get beyond the 11.7 number. All the money that's flowing into this sport now, it seems like it's way past due. Are you optimistic that those proposals are going to pass?
Yeah, I am. I'm very optimistic. The number one reason is because that transformation committee is chaired by Greg Sankey, the commissioner of the SEC. And Greg is doing Mark Emmert's job and has been doing it for a while. You know, we saw that Mark Emmert is actually going to step out and retire in 23. And I'm thinking, you know, why are they continuing to pay him another dime when a guy in Greg Sankey is already doing his job for him now? Greg Sankey is running college athletics, whether anybody realizes it or not. And so he's chairing this. He's the chair of this transformation committee. And so when they propose that they want to do away with the equivalency scholarships, the partials, and the leagues then can decide, okay, based on our members, what is going to be our limit? Well, I think in the SEC, you're going to have a limit of up to 25 full scholarships for baseball. And sure, the schools, when they do that, when and if they do that, are going to have to balance that with Title IX in other women's sports, but they will gladly do it. There's plenty of money to do that at every SEC school. Yeah. So I think it will pass. Is it, you know, if it's 2023 or 24, that I don't know, but they're within the next few years, they're going to pass it, and you're going to have full scholarship baseball teams. The interest is going to skyrocket. The talent is going to skyrocket. The stadiums will get bigger. The TV audiences will get bigger. And I hope I live long enough to see all of it.
I'm just waiting for a Tony Vitello versus Dave Van Horn feud like we've got brewing between Saban and Jimbo right now. That could get spicy.
Yeah, it just might, right? We'll have a name, image, and likeness smackdown on Twitter one of these days. That'd be great.
Good stuff. All right. Matt, appreciate the time, my friend. Thanks for jumping on so much.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks.
He is Matt Wyatt, former Mississippi State quarterback, doing radio down there in Mississippi now at Radio Wyatt on Twitter. You go follow him and check out that documentary, because it does a really good job of explaining the whole 11.7 scholarship issue in college baseball. And as you heard there, Matt,
what is
optimistic that will soon be a rule of the past.
Yeah. What's the name of it exactly?
It's called Uneven.
Uneven.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you go to his Twitter thing, it's pinned there at the top. And I think if you search.
Big documentary guy.
Yeah, well, and it's not, I think it's like 30 minutes long or something, but it's really well done, and it has a bunch of well-known figures, including coaches. I think Sankey, he had an interview with him.
Matt's a narrator?
I think so. It's really well done.
Well, I'm going to watch it tonight then. Yeah, love having him on. I remember him.
Yeah, it's 41 minutes long. Just search Uneven documentary on YouTube. It's the first thing that pops up.
The only thing at all that I would disagree with is the when he was talking about the Saban thing, I don't think he put – like Jimbo did his Jimbo thing this morning. He was really mad, but, I mean, Saban did basically say the guy, you know, bought his whole recruiting class.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like Nick say – you know, Nick Saban also, you know, called out Deion Sanders, so – It's not like he was making some great speech. I mean, he called them out.
Let's circle back and get into it again after a quick timeout. It is The Drive, Fan Run Radio, back with more right after this. Hell of a first hour.
College football is memory. Here's the deal. A lot of people won't realize. Russ, you haven't been happy because we haven't been – college football talk hadn't been really going on.
It's not hitting yet.
I kind of feel like that changed in the past.
I hope so.
18 hours, I think.
I hope that this doesn't just stuff is fleeting. Pop is fleeting in the world of sports conversation, and sometimes
dude, they're gonna be in a room together in like a week or two.
Oh yeah, and Destin. Is Sankey gonna be? Is he gonna have to do the Jimmy Carter thing with like Arafat and the Sadat guy?
I don't know what you
broker
do because
a piece of cord.
Because at the end of the day, both Sadat and Menachem Begin wanted to have peace. Jimbo looked hot.
Jimbo chose violence.
I'm telling you, man, that tape was not sped up.
It wasn't.
It's more noticeable when he's talking fast like that. When you're not looking at on TV, if you're just listening to him, like, dude, he was out there. He was pissed. Oh yeah.
What if he hits him?
Oh God, that'd be all time.
I mean, football coaches, man, it could have. I don't think
Kiffin and Heupel that. Having to break him up.
Hold me back. Hold me back.
I don't know, man.
You're lucky Miss Terry's here.
That will never not make my skin crawl.
Why?
Miss Terry.
What?
That whole deal.
What whole deal?
With her being called Miss Terry.
Oh.
That'll never
like
sit right
with me.
She's
the head nanny of a daycare or something?
And, a little bit darker than that.
Where are you getting at?
I just think it's wildly inappropriate.
What?
I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
This is going past me. Are you trying to, like, are you insinuating, like, some old plantation style vibes or something?
Total. The old South vibe. And it just makes my skin crawl.
Really?
Yeah. Always has.
I've never thought about that.
I think it's just wacky as hell.
Well, I think that Nick Saban is going to be—he's going to capitalize on this. If people often say, you know, he's not whining; he's warning. He was warning us about
is
the pace of play.
Like
Well, everything up until now, when people would say, "Oh, Nick Saban's whining about the pace of play. He's whining about up-tempo offense. He whine about that." And really, when you go back and look at it, he's like, "Listen. I don't think that we should be doing this as a sport. But if you're not going to make it illegal, then I'm going to do it too because I'm not going to lose. Like, I'm hired to do a job. I have to win. If this is the way you want to play, fine. I'll play that way too and beat your ass because that's what I do. I'm better than you." And I feel like it's going to be the same thing. And they're going to utilize NIL to get what they need to get. And
money's
there might be some other players.
Bud.
Well, there might be some other players at the table, but you still got to do something with them when you get them.
Yeah, but Jimbo is right. It's a lot easier when you do what Saban's been able to do.
Stay with us. Hour number two of The Drive coming up right here on Fan Run Radio.